Welcome to episode 155 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. The past few weeks have gone by in a real blur, with all manner of activities keeping me on my toes. As a result, you've probably noticed, shall we say, a slightly reduced online presence from me of late, but it looks as though I'm finally in a position to bring you up to date on things. So, one of my more recent trips up country was my annual visit to the Outdoor Trade Show in Warwickshire, where I always get the chance to catch up with colleagues from many of the brands whose products feature in test review write-ups. Quite simply then, in this week's show, I'm giving you a brief overview of what I got up to at this year's Outdoor Trade Show. Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 155. It's just about 5:15 of an evening and I am really hot, a little bit sweaty because I have been in such a rush this past sort of half an hour or so. Long story short, I'm on my way over to Goodwood in West Sussex because this coming weekend is the Goodwood Revival, which is a vintage theme, historic motor racing event. A lot of you will have heard me talk about it in the past. I will talk specifically about that in a future episode of the podcast. But as I record this, it is a Thursday, and the event starts on the Friday and goes through to Sunday. So what I want to talk about today is what has happened earlier in my week, because it has been a really, really busy week. And bear in mind when I tell you about this that not every day of a photographer's working week is spent taking pictures. And even then, not every other day is spent editing pictures. There's a lot of admin, a lot of networking, a lot of research, this, that, and the other goes on. So let's rewind a little bit. I won't talk about the previous weekend because, for one thing, it's been such a blur. I can't exactly remember what that brought. I think it was a fairly quiet weekend, in amongst a manic end to the previous week and a busy beginning to this week. So on Monday, I had to just tie up a few loose ends and contact some people and follow up to do some shoots and this, that, and the other. But Tuesday, I headed up country to a place called Warwickshire. Stoneleigh Park is the place. And at Stoneleigh Park, they have OTS, the Outdoor Trade Show. And at OTS, a lot of you will have heard me talking about this in previous years. It's manufacturers in the outdoor industries, everything from footwear to climbing equipment to camping equipment, accessories for photography even, those people are all up there, and I go every year to speak to the people directly, but often you will have the marketing and PR people. If you know what days they're going to be there, you can set up appointments and have a chat with them. And that was what I was there to do. So on this occasion, in previous years, I would drive up there and it would be 2.5 hours maybe. In previous years, there was one occasion I remember, and it took me 5 hours. 5 hours to do this 2-hour journey because there were roadworks anyway, but to compound the fact, there was also a big accident which slowed all the traffic down on an already clogged
stretch of road. So it took a lot longer. So on this occasion, I decided to camp out, because at Stoneleigh Park you have the hotel lodge that's there, which, you know, the majority of exhibitors, they kind of, that's where they stay, because obviously they're there from, I think they set up sort of on the previous Sunday and it goes through to today. So although I'm not there today, it's one of the days that the exhibitors obviously are still there. So they will stay there, but I decided that I was going to camp out because it just made it so much easier. But in order to make the most of that, I decided to go up the day before. So, hang on. That's right. This is how confused my mind is. I went up on the Monday, sort of late afternoon, and it was open. The show opened Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So that's it. So I went up on the Monday, stayed over, and I had a full day Tuesday and a full day Wednesday, and I came back last night. And ordinarily, I would have recorded something about that on my way back. But I ended up, and I maybe explain a bit more about this in a moment, I came back sort of later than I planned and got in about 10 o'clock or 10:30 or something. So I wasn't feeling particularly tired, so I just carried on driving straight for 2 hours. Lots of water, cup of tea, that sort of thing to keep me going, and nibbles. But just getting back to the camping thing, a lot of you like to know the sort of kit that I use and all sorts of different things that I do. So on this occasion, I brought along the Force 10 Helium 100. It's a slightly older model. I think it's a year or two old now. Still very good. It's the one I've got, the 100 signifies that it's a one-man tent. They do a two-man version as well. Really lightweight, very small pack size. And it's ideal when you're not taking lots of kits, because I didn't have all my camera gear. It's just really nice and light, quick to set up. You get a bit of condensation on the inside, but then you always expect that with these sort of either single skin or sort of, you know, lightweight single man tents. It's just the nature of the beast, I'm afraid. And you just, it dries out during the course of the day. And if your sleeping bag gets damp because it happens to touch the edges, then that just dries out. You can put it over your car or hang it up in a tree or what have you. I just made sure it's spread out. I think with me, usually it's a case of where I kind of move in the night. It's the area near the top, sort of around my shoulders, that is the area that always ends up getting a bit damp. So I just made sure that was all open and the air could circulate, and it was all lovely and dry by the evening, by the time I got back. So that was the tent. The sleeping mat that I used is one that I reviewed a while back, which was Pacific Outdoor. What was it called now? I can't remember the model, but I will link to the review that I wrote up about it. I think it's the AC Elite or Elite AC or something like that. Really nice, lightweight. You know, it's generally a nice mat made of recycled plastic bottles, of all things. So, you know, if you follow your eco kind of thing, that's always something to bear in mind. And I've had no problems with it in the early days of those. I know some people had a few technical problems with them, but I have never found a problem. The sleeping bag I used was a down-filled bag. It got a little bit chilly in the evenings, nothing too bad. Didn't have to wear a down jacket whilst I slept or anything like that. That was a Vango Viper 750 down-filled bag. I can always tell how an evening or a night is not especially cold, apart from the obvious that you don't feel cold. With me in a tent, the thing that always gets cold and will wake me up in the night is invariably my feet. Sometimes I'll put a down jacket down the end. I typically don't wear socks because I find that when it is warmer in the mornings, when you wake up, especially sort of mid or late summer even, or even early summer, I find them a little bit not claustrophobic, but it's a funny kind of sensation. It just makes me feel a little bit stuffy, you know, if my feet have got over hot and what have you. So I didn't need to do anything like that. My feet were lovely and warm when I woke up. So that was good. What else can I tell you? That was kind of the setup with the camping. Cookware was my Jetboil Soul, which I find out this last few days. Jetboil are no longer making. They've brought out a new stove called the Mini Mo, which is a bit more, slightly higher capacity. It's a different shape. It's rather than being sort of a tall design with the container you put the water in or your food or what have you. It's actually kind of more squat, but a bit wider. If you know your Jetboils, you'll know that there's always been the zip and the flash. It's kind of, capacity-wise, somewhere close to those. So that's that was kind of, yeah, I like that setup. So I had porridge in the mornings. I don't cook my porridge in the Jetboil because I, you know, scraping it clean and stuff, I kind of don't want to damage my Jetboil. But so I had some dishes, some bowls, sort of pans, whatever that I use for that in the evening, just to keep it easy. Excuse me yawning, like I say, it's been a manic week. Just to keep it easy, I had the Look What We Found pre-packaged foods, which are not dehydrated. They're really, really good quality, really nice. And those are just, again, I've done those where I've cooked them in the bag before. You can do that, but actually on this occasion, again, I just put them in a pan and they cooked really well, and I had some rice, some Uncle Ben's rice with that, which again is kind of pre-steamed, so you don't have to worry about long cooking times. Just mixed it all together and cooked it, and it was lovely. Anyway, it's going to turn into a cookery show at this rate. So that was that. That was the setup. What I'm doing so early with the revival is I've got several days ahead. I'm shooting for a couple of magazines, and there's other sort of things sort of kicking about as well, but specifically as an American magazine I'm shooting and writing an article for, an Australian magazine similarly writing a piece for and shooting the pictures. But today I'm just about to head over to, or I'm heading over to the Motor Circuit, which is kind of, the Motor Circuit is where the revival is, you know, centred. That's where it all happens. And I am meeting up with my friend Matt, who's a photographer. You've heard me talk about him in the past. And I'm helping him. I'm just assisting him this evening. It's quite nice. I'm just assisting him. He's doing a shoot with Jaguar. I gather it's some kind of a sort of fashion-led shoot rather than cars specifically. But that's just going to be really nice. I'm about an hour late. there wasn't, you know, it was pretty flexible. The shoot's not for another hour anyway, but I'm just lending him a hand, setting up and helping with lighting. Likely I'll be what we call a voice-activated light stand, just holding a light and moving around. So I'm kind of looking forward to it. I would have liked a more sort of calmer, sort of a calmer start or to the evening and ahead of the revival. This afternoon I haven't got around to sending a few emails. I'm going to have to do that, if not tonight, then in the morning in the press centre, just following up from OTS. But yeah, it's, you know, looking forward to it. It's always nice assisting and helping other photographers. I mean, you don't always have to be pressing the button. It doesn't, excuse me, it doesn't always have to be your shoot. Obviously, if you're thinking in terms of money, well, then if it's your shoot, then that's where the money is. But there we go. It's nice to help people out and what have you. I probably won't get the chance really to do a podcast specifically about Matt's shoot, but I might allude to it in the podcast that surrounds the revival. We'll have to wait and see. What else can I tell you? The kit that I'm going to be using, actually no, I'll tell you about the kit about for the revival later on that podcast. But I did take a camera with me to OTS, and you know, I didn't even come out of my bag. I lugged it around for several days and I didn't use it. So that was my Nikon D800 without the battery grip. And just to make it a bit more compact, I thought about taking a prime lens, something like 50mm, but actually, just because I wanted a bit more flexibility for the shots that I never took, I took my old 24-85 macro, which for shows and things like that is good because you've got the wide-angle shots and showing the stands with all their goods and everything. But then if I had wanted to have done a close-up shot on a particular product, if I decided I wanted to feature it or talk about it a bit more, that macro function allows me to get nice and close, nice and sharp, and what have you. In the event, any pictures that I did take, and I took a few, just for reference, really, for my reference, were shot on my iPhone. I did a couple of two or three videos, again, just for my reference. One of the manufacturers is supplying me with a tent for a family camping trip at some point in the future. And so, yeah, what I did, just so that my wife could have a reference to it. I mean, I take a picture and sent her a picture of it and what have you. But actually, on my iPhone again, I just filmed a short, like, 1 minute video. Didn't say anything on it. I just sort of stood outside the tent so you could see all of it from outside, and I just walked in and, you know, sort of showed sort of the porchway, the windows, the fastenings, just the way that the compartments divided and all this sort of thing. Like I said, it was merely just as a reference tool, just in the same way that I'll often take, although I could do it on my phone equally, I often have my audio recorder with me so that if I'm out and about and I want to take a reference and just say, oh, just, you know, just a note to self, as it were, at this particular place, this is happening at this date, or this is going on, or whatever it might be. It's really worth doing that. It's really useful. On that note, and this is a bit of an aside, if you are going to be doing that sort of thing, there's a really good app called Evernote. Now, I know a lot of you will probably already have heard of it, but Evernote lets you make notes, save pictures, annotate documents, categorise file stuff away, what have you. It has a mobile app for your iPhone or Android, but it also has a desktop application, which means that you can sync up your account both ways. So I can make a note on my phone and it will automatically sync when I sign in on the desktop and vice versa. Really useful, good for little notes and lists and, I don't know, documents. Some people keep their passwords on there. I personally don't. but yeah, really good. So anyway, bit of a whirlwind recording today because I'm just about to, I'm almost at Goodwood now, and I've got to phone Matt just to let him know I'm kind of here. But I hope that's been of use to you. There's probably more I could say about OTS. You can always be in touch, but needless to say, I have some gear coming my way that I'm going to be running through test review. Some stuff I was given as well to take away, so I'll be sort of sharing a few pictures of that. I might even get round to writing a post, maybe one of these evenings over the weekend. I'll sit and write a post about what went on there. So anyway, very quick. I hope that was of use. But for now, I will leave it there.
I'll be updating the website with further articles shortly, along with bringing you podcast shows covering a number of my recent activities. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget, I'm on Twitter, @GilesBabbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon. We'll be right back.
member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast.